And a good afternoon as we come to you from Minneapolis as we get ready for a possible three-game winning streak after the Kings. They were down by 20 points last night in the third quarter, and they came roaring back thanks to the bench and really led by Ty Lawson. And they beat the Utah Jazz for their second win in a row. And now, tomorrow, a young, underachieving Minnesota team to date will be their opponent. And then you've got Philadelphia on the 26th. So we'll talk about that. We've got Lincoln Kennedy coming on at 4:05. We got Thursday Night Football with the Giants and the Eagles. And at 4:45, we are going to play what some people say is the infamous Grant Napier Christmas rant. How are you, Doug?
I am great. I can't wait for the Christmas rant. You're talking 2-3 in a row for the Kings. Man, life is good right now.
Yeah, life is good. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The Kings found a way to win a game in which DeMarcus Cousins did not have his usual game, but none of the starters really did. Darren Collison wasn't effective. Ben McLemore was ineffective. I mean, when you look at the starters, they all had in their plus minus, they were all minuses. The bench, Doug, was the reason why the Kings won the game last night.
Yeah, 49-21, 49 big points from the bench. Obviously, Ty Lawson, 19 points. I mean, playing downhill all night, coming off the pick and roll, step backs, little 19-foot jump shots, little push shots. And you got to give some credit to Coach Yeager at the same time for staying with, that group to bring them all the way back. And you and I spoke on it on air. Is when do you pull the plug once those guys get back and put in your big gun? And it worked out for the Kings. A really, really good road win that should build up some cachet within the group that, you know what, we can win in this league, guys.
All right, so another good road win. You know, they've won at Toronto this year. They just won at Memphis. Starting to play a little bit better. The lulls would concern me.
Yes.
They had a huge lull in the Portland game. They had to come from behind. They were down 20. They had to come from behind. It's not a great recipe, but it just shows that this team's sticking with it. And I do like that. There are some positives with that. And, you know, listen, here we are. It's still early. You know, I think a lot of people, oh, gee, you know, they're off to a bad start. Okay, well, they are. But it's still only December. The season goes until April.
Yeah, and as we look at this schedule, you got to think that I don't say the hardest part, but a really difficult part has been up to this point where now you know it's going to ease up on you a little bit. This was kind of the tale of two halves, 38 points in the first half and 56 in the second half by the Kings. And it was a steady increase. First quarter, 17, 21 in the second, 24 in the third, Grant. And then the quarter that nipped them last time they faced Utah was the fourth quarter, and they outscored Utah by 12, scoring 32 big points in the fourth.
All right, so we'll talk about that. Again, we got NFL football tonight with the Giants at the Eagles. We're still waiting to hear whether Denoris Jenkins is going to play tonight for the Giants. He is currently on the field going through his pregame test with Giants trainers and doctors to see whether or not he can play. He injured his back on Sunday in the win against Detroit. And then, of course, Lincoln Kennedy will be on with us in about an hour to talk about the Raiders with two games left. They are once again in the driver's seat, Doug. And, hey, Tennessee had that crazy come-from-behind win at Kansas City. And because of that, now the Raiders control their own destiny in terms of getting a first-round bye.
Yeah, and I think that would really be huge for them. You know, yesterday we talked to Chris Landry, and I asked him if, you know, it's big to have that first-round bye. And he said, you know what, I would rather have it than not. For a young team, you're not really sure, but to make sure that you're all the way healthy, give yourself the best chance, and it's a home game. You could say what you want about Tennessee. Kansas City has been in the driver's seat, and they shot themselves in the foot again, and the Raiders right now control their destiny. Let's see what they do.
All right, big game of college basketball last night as Louisville beat Kentucky, but you know, there's a lot of talk coming out of Duke as it relates to one of their players for tripping. And Coach K, I don't know how closely you've been following that story, but is there something to it?
Well, yeah, this is the third time with Grayson Allen. And, you know, he had an absolute meltdown on the bench. And I listened to Coach K earlier. He did a radio interview, and, you know, he kind of went at the people who were asking him questions. You know, it's like, look, I do this the way that I want to do it. Now, Grayson Allen's been suspended indefinitely. And, you know, this is something that, you just can't do. Ultimately, if he was probably playing in the NBA, someone would probably punch him. Because if you continue to trip people the way that he's doing it, it looks like I got the better of you, I beat you, and you're just going to say, you know what, I'm going to trip you. And you can't do that. So indefinitely, we'll see how long it takes. I saw some people on ESPN talking about maybe he needs some professional help. I'm not really sure. We have a guy in DeMarcus Cousins who gets involved in different things, and it's his competitive spirit that sometimes leads him astray because he gets going. And then a lot of the times he regrets what he did right afterwards, but the initial response. And I think that that looks like what's happening with Grayson Allen, except the meltdown on the bench was crazy.
All right, if you have any thoughts on that, again, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, toll-free, 800-920-1140. Something else that I wanted to talk about. George Karl, who coached here up until last year, has a book coming out. And there were excerpts from his book today around the internet and the New York Post with what I interpret as alarming comments about Carmelo Anthony. And this goes beyond throwing someone under the bus. He made a statement, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, about his use of money and his finance, and said, well, he didn't grow up with a father, so I can understand that, you know, or something like that. And but there are other comments that he made, and I'll read some of the excerpts from this. But I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time with George Karl, okay? And anyone that's been around George Karl knows that he's got a huge ego, okay? He's got a huge ego. I can't speak for George Karl on this, but I don't understand why he is coming out with a tell-all book. Like, what does he have to gain from that? Like, do you understand that, Doug? Why write a book like this? Because I really believe that this is going to tarnish his legacy if the entire book is like this. And
wow.
Yeah, and this is obviously a huge story right now in New York. Let me read some of the things that he said, okay? And, you know, he also made some very odd comments. Not odd, but he made some comments about J.R. Smith. And you know J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith's not, you know, J.R. Smith is going to fire back. And, again, I wasn't in the Denver dynamic with George Karl and Carmelo Anthony. All right? I really don't know. What I do know is that I don't think that George Karl is going to come out looking good on this. That's what I guess I would just say this, and I'll get your comment on that, and then I want to read some of the excerpts from the book.
You know, I was a huge fan of George's coaching style, and I thought it would work here. It didn't work. Those who know me know that I'm probably not the, you know, George and I have had some run-ins when I was a young player. He drafted me with the Sonics. But to hear these things that you're saying is alarming. He's made quite a bit of money, so I don't think that money would be the prime factor.
I wouldn't think so.
In why you would be writing this book. But
let me read some of these. Can I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me just read this. Quote, Carmelo was a true conundrum for me in the 6 years I had him. He was the best offensive player I ever coached. He was also a user of people, addicted to the spotlight, and very unhappy when he had to share it. He really lit my fuse with his low demand of himself on defense. He had no commitment to the hard, dirty work of stopping the other guy. My ideal, probably every coach's ideal, is when your best player is also your leader. But since Carmelo only played hard on one side of the ball, he made it plain that he couldn't lead the Nuggets, even though he said he wanted to. Coaching him meant working around his defense and compensating for his attitude. The volume of questions about Carmelo eventually wore me down. Sometimes I got so sick of talking about him that I just throw up my hands and say, I don't know what he is, and I don't care. All right? Then he went on and talked about Karl Anthony and Kenyon Martin. Kenyon and Carmelo carried two big burdens, all that money and no father to show them how to act like a man. How about that comment? Kenyon and Carmelo carry two big burdens, all that money, and no father to show them how to act like a man?
Grant, there's many things that I could say. Mostly all of them are not conducive to the airwaves right now. Well, I will go to Kenyon's tweet, and Kenyon says, the book he is writing is full of lies and deceit. Worst coach ever I played for. George Karl is selfish, unhappy, miserable, cowardly person. No wonder he's been fired by every single place he has ever coached. That is from Kenyon Martin's Twitter page. You know, there are, when he's talking about Carmelo's playing style, maybe, and lack of defense, as a coach, I can understand you going there because you're coaching him. But I will say, coaching, there was a quote in there, coaching is working with what you have. Grant, you have to figure out a way. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to be everything. I mean, we know we have DeMarcus Cousins. A lot of people want him to be this, want him to be that. DeMarcus is who he is, so we have to figure out how do you work within that. The same thing. So now you can't cry over spilled milk. But when you start talking about the family dynamic, whether a person has a father or doesn't have a father, that is so off limits. I can't even tell you.
Kenyon Martin also said this, talking about Melo didn't like defense. Hell, he never coached defense. How does that work? How about that?
Well, and I've obviously I've heard things that went along with that. So
he also said, since we were so bad as players, tell him to forfeit those Denver wins. See, the point I want to make, and I want to get back to, I don't understand what George Karl, I think this is going to, I don't want to use the word destroy.
Tarnish?
Big time tarnish George Karl's legacy. Like, this is not going to be good for George Karl. George Karl is going to come across as a grumpy old man who's got an axe to grind.
And that's what Kenyon pretty much said right there. Because you got to know this, Grant. After you write a book, you go on book tours, you talk on the radio, you talk on television about it. This is not going to go away, especially Melo is in New York. So you already know what the New York press is going to do. They're going to jump all over this, and all these quotes will be in his face constantly. Kenyon is not going to hold his tongue, so this is going to continue to go. It's going to be tough for George.
Now, this, to me, just seems like Kenyon went too far. Everyone that's played for that awful person and coach can't stand the ground he walks on. I would doubt that everyone that's played for George Karl feels that way.
Yeah, when you use words like every, and I'm guilty of this from time to time, you can't do that. That's, you can't. Hey, not every single person.
How about this by Kenyon Martin? I didn't have a father growing up. We all know that. What's George Karl's excuse for being a terrible person?
Oof.
That's pretty bad right there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I'll tell you something else this book's going to do. This book is going to, I'm trying to think of the adjective here. This is going to make the fans that don't understand, they're now going to understand why the Kings fired George Karl. Okay?
Yes.
That's, and I said this, and I have no problem saying this, and if George Karl was sitting right next to me, I'd say it to his face.
Right.
What I experienced with George Karl and his coaching staff was the worst thing that I've ever seen in all of my years of covering basketball. He couldn't coach. He didn't want to coach. Part of it was physical limitations because of his knee and his throat cancer, the after effects of that. George used to sit on a stool at practice, never got up. The only time he ever got up is when NBA TV was there to shoot the training camp practice, and then George made it seem like he was coaching the team. George didn't coach the team. And then, you know, all the issues with DeMarcus, I'm not saying they were all George's fault, but George is the one that started it,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
George Karl had to leave, and the only thing that the Kings, they probably should have gotten rid of him earlier, but you can't go back in time. The point is that this is going to make the Kings not look as bad as I think a lot of people think they looked when they fired a soon-to-be, in all likelihood, Hall of Fame coach.
Yes, and when I think back, do you remember Coach Kloppy? Coach Kloppenberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, the defensive, and now that I see this, when he was in Seattle, they had a very incredible defensive scheme where they would switch. They had a lot of switchable players and different stuff like that. And when I hear all of this, it leans more towards that was Kloppy's scheme as opposed to George's coaching, probably.
Now, can we just say George Karl was not a really good coach? No, we can't. I mean, George Karl was tremendous in Seattle.
Yes.
Okay, Unfortunately, they had to play Michael Jordan in the finals. But he also was the first ever number one seed to get upset by an eighth seed when Dikembe Mutombo and the Nuggets beat them. George has coached in a lot of different places. I believe, personally, that the only reason why George took the job in Sacramento was to climb up the ladder because his ego was so big and try to vault over some coaches that were ahead of him. I don't even want to get into this because it's none of my business. I also think he needed the money.
Okay. As this comes out, I didn't get all into this. I had just saw this story. So I'm going to get deeper into it. But a lot of things can become clear as you begin to do this. But I really, your first point that this is going to tarnish George because this is now in print. People are going to read it. They are going to micromanage it. They are going to go over it with a fine-tooth comb. They're going to bring it to Carmelo in New York. You're going to hear a lot more from Kenyon Martin, and this will not go away. So it will be interesting in the days to come.
All right. If you want to comment on that, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I want to read another quote. I just can't stop with this. This is on Twitter from Kenyon Martin. George Karl is selfish, unhappy, miserable, cowardly person. No wonder he's been fired every place he has coached. The book he is writing is full of lies and deceit. By far the worst coach that ever played for.
Wow. That's what I can say is absolutely
well,
wow.
Well, when you throw people under the bus,
yes,
and you make comments about someone's not having a father and how you perceive that to affect someone's lack of being a man when it comes to finances, that is beyond comprehension to me. That's not just like I am okay with George Karl talking about Carmelo's defense and how he perceived his lack of leadership.
Basketball.
I'm okay with basketball.
Yep.
But when you start talking about how he manages his money.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because you stereotype
all.
Because he didn't have a father?
Yeah.
Really?
That
to me, right there, that one statement, to me, I will not even pick up the book. Because that one statement to me is enough for me, who knows George Karl, to say, you know what? He has just destroyed any credibility he had in his book. If that's the stuff that's in this book, I don't want to read it because that infuriates me.
Well, all of this stuff that is being said, it just in my mind, and you know some of this because you and I have talked about the things that were said and
absolutely
done to me.
Absolutely.
It just
can I use a word?
Yes.
Disrespectful.
Yes. There you go. Hey,
disrespectful without a reason to be disrespectful. Now, I personally don't feel that, you know, in that situation, there's ever an excuse to be disrespectful, but disrespectful without a reason or motive to be disrespectful.
Yeah. And did all of us have fathers growing up? No, some of us, maybe it wasn't. It didn't happen. But does that have anything to do with finances and a lot of different things? No, it doesn't. And it does say something that you're able to raise yourself up and do a lot of things.
Yep.
And your community helped you in a lot of different things that you are able to get to that point. Are we perfect? No, we are not perfect. But to use your platform and your Hall of Fame platform to degrade and be disrespectful,
awful.
To use that is absolutely awful.
All right. So if you want to comment on that, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I just want to say one thing real quickly before we move on. I'm very happy that Uriah Faber has retired because I've just seen something that has been put out on the internet as he is driving in Carmichael Dave's car while Carmichael Dave is driving. So I just want to let everyone out there know that. And if you're listening, Uriah, great, great choice, because I know there's no damn way in the world you'd be in that car if that was the case. All right, let's just call it the way it is.
Yes.
Can we go there?
He's with Carmichael Dave. Be careful out there, you guys.
Unbelievable. All right, so again, if you want to comment on any of these things, 800-930-1140 and 800-920-1140. I also want to tell you about a big event coming to KHDK on Friday, January 6th. Jim Rome's coming to Sacramento, and he'll be hosting his show at the KHDK studios on the Wingstop Soundstage on Friday, January 6th from 9 a.m. to noon. Jim wants you to be part of the show, too. Just go to KHDK Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages and send us a direct message that you'd like to attend. We'll get back to you with all the info. Wingstop's going to provide lunch for everyone in attendance. And following his show, you can meet Jim, take pictures, get an autograph as well, and then he'll be at the Golden One Center for the game that night as well. For more information, go to the KHDK Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages, or go to KHDK.com right now. Yes, sir.
You know what? Today, I know what time it is. It is 3. Let me say this again. It is 3:24. Time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group. That's 791-1737.
Well, I'm glad you know what time it is. That's better than 24 hours ago. Actually, that would have been 23 hours ago. You know, or whatever the hell it was, because let me tell you something, dude, you're a piece of work. You know that?
Well played.
You're unbelievable. All right. So here's the deal. We are going to be, this is an open first hour. So we want to talk to you about these topics, whether it's the Kings last night or the George Karl book that's coming out at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And then coming up at 4, it's going to be Lincoln Kennedy. And then at 4:45, I'm going to replay my Christmas rant that people still want to hear after all these years.
I can't wait, personally. And if you're out there, call somebody, tell them to tune in.
By the way, Pete D'Alessandro, thank you for bringing George Karl to Sacramento. We really appreciate that, Pete.
Ouch, that hurt me over here, Grant. Through the glass window.
Although, I don't want to come across as disingenuous. When the Kings hired George Karl, I was on board, and I thought it was a great hire. So I'm putting that out there because I don't want to say, when George Karl was hired, I was like, okay, you have now finally gotten a proven coach who's won everywhere he's been, and I was on board with it.
I was too, Greg.
And it didn't take me long. It took me a couple of months to realize what a horrible mistake, but I was one of those that was on board with it. I supported it. So for those of you that are going, I'm full disclosure here. I was full support of it.
And I probably started going downhill because when I pee-peed in my pants when I saw snakes in the grass, I little pee-pee in my pants.
Yeah, right?
I laughed so hard.
Oh, my gosh.
I was with you because I thought that we were getting Seattle, George Karl, that type of system and different things. And at that point, I think his health and a lot of different
stuff. Yeah, it was just he couldn't coach anymore.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come right back. This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie from Minneapolis on Sports 1140. All right, back with you here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. We're going to take some phone calls this segment at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Why don't we get to Eric? Hello, Eric. Eric, you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Grant. Good afternoon, Doug.
Hey.
And, Merry Christmas to you, gentlemen.
Same to you.
Definitely love the show. I got a couple points that I want to throw out, but just a longtime Kings fan, been riding this roller coaster, and a long time ago, Doug, I think we kind of got robbed, and we're just kind of riding it out as far as that goes. You know, we've been watching the Kmart show, we've been watching the Tyreek show, we've been watching the DeMarcus show, and I kind of want to get back to watching the King show.
Hey.
I need a little bit more team in that in the organization. And you guys are great. You guys cover a lot of ground, so I'm talking kind of quick. I apologize for that, but one of the points that I think that we're lacking in the organization, and you can check me if I'm wrong, Grant. I know you will, buddy, is mentorship. And that's something that you touched on a long time ago, was mentorship. And, you know, you're talking about our old coach.
Rick Adaman?
Coach
Karl?
George Karl. And we were talking about fatherhood, and, you know, a lot of these players are coming out, and, you know, they're getting we got a great coaching staff, we got a great arena, and we got a new logo, new uniforms, but we kind of need a little bit of maybe guidance as far as our players go. Like, I mean, DeMarcus, we've watched him mature. phenomenally over the years, and he's become a great player, but he's still got some work to do, and I'd like to see him develop into what he potentially really could be, and that's like a team player. You know what I mean?
You know, to your point, actually, we talk about this all the time, especially Grant and I, the fact that as you're a Kings fan, and so you saw our teams, and we would talk basketball a lot. But when I think about, like, Coach Pete Carrille, we talk basketball, but it led into a lot of life stuff and talking about how to handle situations and different stuff. So I would agree with you. A lot of that is having the right people around to be in their ear and explain how to handle situations. Ultimately, otherwise, you have to learn how to do it on your own, and that can be very up and down.
But you know what? If I'm driving in the car and I'm listening to what you just said, and I don't think you mean this, but I'll ask you, you're intimating that those people haven't been around since DeMarcus Cousins has been here. And I would say that's not accurate. He's played for, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, maybe 30 different coaches, including head coaches and assistant coaches.
Right.
Including... okay, a guy like Bobby Jackson, who was on the staff, and Corliss Williamson, who was on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys that get it, guys that would play through all types of scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Corliss, who's won a championship. Corliss, who was the sixth man of the year. There have been Hall of Fame caliber coaches that have been along him. I mean, if you're not willing to listen, then you're never going to change. And in my opinion, there hasn't been enough listening that's gone on over the years. That's my opinion.
You know, Grant, when you say that, I totally agree with you. My thing is, it's how you get the message, how you give it. Not to say that they haven't done it, because I don't know, I wasn't here. But there is always a way in. It's just you got to circle the wagons until you find that way in. So your point is very valid.
Didn't even mention Vlade Divac's name, who has spent an enormous amount of time with DeMarcus. And listen, I don't mean to paint the picture that DeMarcus hasn't improved in some areas, because I've been very outspoken on this show that he has. But I think that this narrative that, well, there hasn't been a mentor for him, that's a bunch of crap. They even hired his high school coach out of Alabama to join the staff when he was a rookie to help along those lines. And it was a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be careful about the narrative that we put out here that the Kings need to have this or they need to have that. They've got a lot of great resources. They really do.
When you look at Grant, systems, that's what I keep coming back to, meaning that the system is in place, so everyone that you hear it from, it's going to be a consistent message across the board. It's not going to let down. There's not going to be a chink in the armor.
That's
the key.
I agree. You're spot on. And you played in a Pat Riley regime, although, but that would be the example, right?
Yes. Oh.
There's one way to do it. And if you don't do it, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right?
And, I mean, I'm talking about from the ball boys all the way down. As soon as you walk into the practice facility, as soon as you walk into the arena, this is how it's going to go. And it helped me to become a professional because I wasn't professional. When I got to New York, I learned quite a bit.
Every single person that works in the Miami Heat organization, they all are there for one common goal.
Yep.
They're all given manuals when they sign to work there. They all get manuals, and in that manual, it's the how to do it manual, and this is what's expected of you. This is what is going to happen. These are the things that we will not tolerate, and it's as you said, it's from the president all the way down to the ball boys.
And if it doesn't work, then now you have someone to say, because it's not working.
Great point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm the person who's stamping this, and this is what the organization is going to do. And if this doesn't work, it's on me.
Same thing with the Spurs.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's get to Matt. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Happy holidays. First
same
of
to you.
All, I just want to say that. A couple things. I just wanted to say that I think Dave Joerger deserves a lot of credit for, the season – how the season has gone in general, but last night's win, I think he really showed his worth. I mean, he stuck with that unit that got us back in the game a lot longer than I think some other coaches might have done.
Hey, Matt, all you got to do is look at his resume. This guy can coach, okay? He's pretty much been successful everywhere he's been. He knows how to coach. That's of all the things that we talk about every day on the radio, that's not one we have to talk about. He knows what he's doing.
And we said that earlier. The fact that he was willing to stay with the group, it says a lot. A lot of coaches will pull the plug too early on that group when they get close. He waited until they got all the way there. Yes, give him a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm. I also think he called a couple key timeouts. I think it was like one or two timeouts in maybe the last three and a half minutes of the game or so that I thought were really crucial that kind of just got the guys to stay focused and just, you know, instead of just giving up, they really kind of just bunkered down, I think, and I think that helped a lot. Also, I listened last year and maybe for the last year and a half, every time when Grant, when you would say, oh, you know, George Karl doesn't coach this team, people would call up and kind of laugh at that and kind of say, well, you know, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And I think it was pretty obvious that George Karl wasn't coaching that team. I mean, all you have to do is
Chad Iskey was coaching the team. The assistant head coach, Chad Iskey, was coaching the team last year.
Even in his press conferences, he was so nonchalant. So, you know, I mean, you would have thought he was on vacation. And if you watch Dave Yeager, he was the complete – I won't say he's the complete opposite, but I mean, if you thought George Karl was coaching this team, just watch what Dave Yeager's doing, and you can see that what Amen. George Karl did was absolutely
Thank you, Matt.
Well said,
you know,
Matt.
Nothing. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Take care. Let's get to Pete. You're next here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey, Grant. Your call screener had a disagreement with me. I thought you said that George Karl might have needed to coach for the money. Did I hear that right?
There were some things that were brought to my attention that I don't care to get into on the radio, he was looking for that one more payday because of some things that had happened.
But no background.
I don't mean to infer that he was broke and, you know, wasn't going to be, I just meant that, you know, he needed a one more contract to say, okay, that's it. I'm good. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. And I don't like getting into someone's personal life. That's why I'm really bothered by what George Karl said about Carmelo and Kenyon with their fathers or not having dads,
well,
you know?
Well, I will say this, Grant, without getting into the particulars, our run-in was personal. And when you get personal like
your run-in with George,
yes, it was personal, and it should never get to that because this is business, and those are the type of things that are just they're super unfortunate in the world of sports and totally unnecessary. And to bring them out in this type of light with these type of guys, I think you said it spot on. It could be really bad. We'll have to watch and see what it does, but this is going to be a tough one.
All right, we'll be right back. More phone calls when we return. Lincoln Kennedy in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, let's get back to some of those phone calls, and it's Mike. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, Mike? Yep, go ahead.
I was calling to talk about DeMarcus Cousins, but real quick, you guys brought up George Karl. I think that was probably the biggest con job ever. He sold himself well, and when he got the job, he did everything he could to get himself fired. And I was surprised he lasted that long. He was just padding that retirement so he could live a little bit more comfortable.
But, all right, what else do you want to talk about?
Back to DeMarcus Cousins. I love him, great player, but it doesn't matter who talks to him, whatever. He's not going to change. He is who he is, you know. There's always those guys that are like that. A lot of them don't make it through college. A lot of them don't make it into the pros because they're not as good as DeMarcus Cousins. But as long as he continues to play the way he is, it's not going to change, you know, because he'll always be on a team somewhere as talented as he is. And if they want to control him a little bit, they got to take away what he loves the most, playing time. The money, they take away from him or suspend him. You got to take away playing time during the game. He sits out a quarter and a half, he's going to start to listen and pay attention because he wants to be in there in the moment playing the game because that's something he loves to do. We all seen that the other night. He just dominated that game.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling the show. We appreciate it. Let's get to Ralph. Hello, Ralph. How are you?
Great. How's it going?
What's up?
So, a question about, I guess, for Doug. Is he on the line, too?
Yes, sir.
With DeMarcus's effort and, you know, you being a former player on the offensive end, and mm-hmm. I know in other teams that sometimes the best offensive player or the star doesn't necessarily guard the best player on the other team.
Right.
Do you think the effort that Cousins gives on the offensive end, you know, I didn't see so much the past two games of defensive end. I thought he played well, but like on our last road trip, that he gives so much on the offensive end, it sometimes he has not as much to give on the defensive end. Is that an excuse at all, or is there some reasoning behind that?
No, I think it's realistic to sometimes think that, but you're going to have to get past that, because you look at players like Kawhi Leonard and different players. If you're in the Pop system, you're going to give it on both ends. But I will say it is difficult, because sometimes now you're probably not going to see like a guy like Kawhi guard the best player every time until it gets to the playoffs. I did that a lot of times on the offensive end. Sometimes I would rest because we had such good offensive players. I was given so much effort on the defensive end, but that is still not an excuse. I don't necessarily, I mean, Cuz isn't a shot blocker, but he gets in the position for charges. He helps on defense. This is not going to be a team that has lockdown defenders, with the exception of maybe a Garrett Temple and maybe sometimes Matt Barnes. It's going to be a team effort, kind of like we did when we played. It was a team defense, and you can be a really good team defensive team without individual stoppers.
Absolutely.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I know you guys have talked about before with our best player not being our leader. Do you really see that happening with this team, where can we really win, where if DeMarcus is our best player and him not being the leader, can we really move forward and become a championship contending or playoff contending team with him on the team and not being our leader per se, you know?
Well, you know, it just depends. Do you have another demonstrative personality that is going to be your leader, or does DeMarcus continue to grow and evolve and become that? We haven't seen that yet, so we don't. It's hard to say. Otherwise, it's going, like we seen last night, from your coaching staff, who, you know, pulls the right cords and puppets the game and makes sure that all the right things are done. We seen that. Grant and I were talking about Pat Riley, who you might not have had maybe a leader on the court when Shaq was there and Dwayne Wade. There really wasn't a leader. Pat Riley was that leader. There's a lot of different ways to do that as a player either learns or maybe isn't in that role.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get to Track. Hey, Track, what's going on? You're on Sports 1140. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to tell you guys I love the show. Doug, you my man.
Thank you.
We miss you. We miss you at the lab, man. But I just had a comment about, you know, the Kings. I'm not from Sacramento, so I'm not really a Kings fan, but I'm a fan of the city like you two. And, you know, I really think these people deserve a good team that works hard every night like you guys did back in the day. And there's no reason we can't be a city like Portland, where, you know, you have a team that is not really that talented, but they go out and play hard every day and make the playoffs. I just wanted to know how you guys feel about that.
Interesting enough to his comment, Grant. You know, you can remember when they used to call the Trailblazers
the Jailblazers. Yes.
And for a long time, a really good city,
yep,
who supported their team, comes out every night.
They said no. They stayed away.
And all of a sudden, they started drafting different type,
yep,
of guys. They,
yep,
got a different vibe and feeling in there. And more than anything, Sacramento people and fans of the Kings, they want to come out and they want to see effort.
That's right.
And that's, in my opinion, that's not too damn much to ask. Let's
no.
start there. And if you do that and that equates to wins, awesome. But up and beyond, that's the first thing, that it's the variable that has to come out immediately. And we said at the beginning of the season that wasn't going to be a problem with Dave Yeager, because the way he coaches and what he needs out of his team. And over these last couple of games, I believe that is starting to be the trend that we're beginning to see. Hey, I'll go to the bench. We're down 20. I'll figure it out. And then it's contagious.
Yep. All right. Lincoln Kennedy coming up next to talk about this big two-week stretch for the Raiders, who now control their own destiny for getting a bye in the first round. We'll do that when we return here on Sports 1140 KHTK.